We are a week away from what I like to call the best weekend in sports throughout the year. We get playoff basketball. We get the Kentucky Derby. We got baseball. We typically have a marquee boxing match. That's next weekend. It's going to be a fantastic weekend all the way around. One of my favorites of the year. Right now, I do want to talk boxing because it's been far too long since we've had a conversation in depth about the sport. And I want to talk Tyson Fury, who continued to dominate last weekend, picking up a win at Wembley Stadium by knocking out Dillian White. Brilliant TKO victory for Tyson Fury. Moves to 32-0, and we can go ahead and say one, even though that's highly disputed. Joining us right now to talk about the legacy of Tyson Fury as his career starts to trickle down, we have Tony Whitby, our boxing insider. He's joined us here on Drive Time Sports for over 10 years. Tony, I know it was an exciting weekend, right? We had the heavyweight division at the center of the boxing universe. And it's Tyson Fury. This guy is can't miss TV, and he doesn't disappoint. He gives us the excitement. Sixth round TKO.
Yeah, absolutely. That the fight itself, I mean, it lives up to the hype as far as what the avid boxing fans' expectations were and what they saw. What was interesting was to see that crowd and just the amount of people there to see that fight. You know, Tyson Fury hasn't fought in his homeland and you know, over half a decade here, so it was nice to have him have a good homecoming fight, and as of right now, a retirement fight.
As of right now, yes. And so that's how I want to approach this segment. If it is the end of the road for Tyson Fury, and Tony, I've thought about this for like a week now, how do you address the legacy? Because that's what we're obsessed with now in today's world. We want to hear legacy talk. We always want to rank people. I make a point to not become a prisoner in the moment. So as I sit back and I start to reflect on what we saw from Tyson Fury, I don't believe there's been a better story in the heavyweight division in quite some time, man. I mean, really, I would have to sit and think about this. The most fascinating story to me and the adversity that this guy has had to overcome, it is sensational. It's the making of a Hollywood movie.
Yeah, without a doubt. A couple of things. I always look at Tyson Fury, and I always remember the first fight I remember seeing televised was a Showtime card where it was Tyson Fury versus a guy named, I believe, named Max Power. So it was Fury versus Power, and that was just the biggest tagline that you could see. And I think that was in London Hall. I mean, somebody can box rec or Google that, but I mean, that was cool some time ago. You know, the guy, you know, got his name from Mike Tyson. That's his family was born in the boxing, and they swore that he was going to be somebody someday, and he's always called his shot. And that's where it comes from, whether we all kind of thought he was a joking, kind of laughable guy. You know, at one point, he was just a meme. Most people won't even know this, but in the boxing world, there used to be this this little gif or jif of him punching himself in his face. I want to say like in one of the first 10 fights of his career, and that's what he was known for, was just this goofy little, you know, he actually punched himself. And look, man, he's the world champion. He beat the guy that beat the guy. He beat a Klitschko to get where he's at in the mountaintop, semi-retired for a second, had a sabbatical, came back, called his shot, went through wars with Wilder. And look, I mean, from a legacy standpoint, it's the, you know, the best story that we have right now in the heavyweight division. And I wouldn't disagree with you, man. It is definitely a movie in the making type of scenario.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and my bias will show here a little bit. I mean, when I think about Hollywood stories in the heavyweight division, obviously Holyfield coming back at the time that he did and accomplishing what he did during a very powerful era of the heavyweight division, to me, I mean, it's always going to stand out to me. But Tony, really, I mean, that was 25 years ago. Right when Holyfield defeated Tyson, and I mean, he was an off-the-wall underdog, and we've had that story. We've had Holyfield on the show. We've talked about that. There was that level of competition in the mid-90s in the heavyweight division. We kind of transition out of that. Lennox Lewis dominates the division. Then we kind of transition into the Klitschkos, who dominate the division for a long time. Then we get this new kind of fresh breath, of the heavyweight division. We get Deontay Wilder, we get Anthony Joshua, the Klitschkos are on the way out. Tyson Fury now becomes a household name, and he dominates the competition. The only guy he hasn't beaten is Anthony Joshua, and I'm sure you and I share the same belief here. He will mow through Anthony Joshua if we ever see that quote-unquote legacy-defining fight. There was the big three in the heavyweight division, and we haven't had that in so long. Maybe that's why this story is so interesting to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to look at the playing field, and with both of the Klitschkos, you know, rise to the mountaintop, rise to power, and it's a decade-long stronghold on the heavyweight division, and there's just no question about their sheer dominance. And then to see it get rattled first by Fury, you know, essentially dominating Klitschko in a not necessarily entertaining way, which most Fury fights kind of have that type of scenario where he's kind of razzling and dazzling a little bit from a boxing acclimate standpoint, but he dismantles Klitschko, kind of removes Klitschko from doing what he's done his entire career in the ring, and he wins handedly, and it was a masterpiece of a performance. And then at that point, he, you know, gets into these wars with Wilder as well, and there's a lot of questions in the air of who's going to be the king of the mountain, this young, fresh-faced Olympian and Anthony Joshua, you know, the guy from Alabama who's just destroying everyone that doesn't necessarily have the boxing pedigree. And then you have this guy, Tyson Fury, has a crazy background of a story. He's 6'9", you know, 280 pounds, but he can box, you know, his feet off, and he can do it well, and he has good knockout power, and he's smart in the ring. So he has a little mix of everything, plus he's a jovial, fun guy to talk to. He's a great interview. So it's a real interesting story in that standpoint, and he's not afraid to tell it like it is, or at least from his perspective, what he thinks it is as well.
Again, our guest right now, Tony Whippy, as we talk about Tyson Fury, 32-0-1, picking up a clean TKO victory over the weekend. No question, number one heavyweight, at least over the last, 5 to 10 years? Maybe not quite 10 years. We go last 5-6 years, right? I mean, that's probably fair. We can comfortably say that, right? Best over the last 5-6 years?
I would say, hands down, since the Klitschko fight, that is the passing of the torch, in my opinion. When he took out Klitschko, and I won't say that was at least 5 years ago?
It was 7 years ago, yeah, so 2015.
So around that time is when I would say that would be the passing of the
torch. Tony, one of the things that boxing has become, and I think this is a true knock on the promoters, and the way the biggest fights are handled in the sport today, when someone tells me that boxing's dead, well, it's not dead. You see these goofy fights, Jake Paul going up against Tyrone Woodley, and they sell. I mean, they sell pay-per-views, for crying out. Floyd Mayweather does an exhibition fight, and it sells. Boxing's not dead. It's the way the promoters have handled the sport. Now, where I'm trying to get at with this, if there is a fighter that could capitalize on the goofy promotions and the goofy exhibition fights that we have seen over the last 3-4 years, it's Tyson Fury, and there's a lot of money to be made there. That's been proven.
Yeah, I mean, look, over the weekend, we just saw the second largest, crowd in history. And arguably, if he came out of retirement and if Anthony Joshua retained his title, even if he didn't for that matter, there's a really good case to be made that they could break the record that was in Mexico two decades ago with Julio Cesar Chavez here. And there was 137,000 people there, 134,000 people there. So, I mean, if those records could still be broken today, then, yeah, and there, almost 100,000 people were there over the weekend. Boxing's not dead. It retooled, rejuvenated in a different way. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last decade. I always tell people, It's dead if you're not looking at it. You know, it's not going to look. You know, it's not going to be alive if you're not paying attention. But I assure people are paying attention. I mean, we can even get into it anyway when we talk about the weekend as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that. There are some terrific fights coming up this weekend, and we got a super fight in the making that we'll talk about in just a moment. But this weekend, you love the cards. You love the action.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the way I look at it when we talk about boxing being dead, I mean, we're seeing the two female fighters and, fast-selling Marvin Gardner, Madison Square Garden type of fight. We've never seen anything like that. They're headlining a card. And it is, by way of DAZN and by way of Jake Paul. Look, man, I would say boxing's retooled and kind of, figuring out different ways of doing things, not necessarily going the same conventional way with promoters. A lot of these streaming sites and a lot of other promoters putting their hat on the ring, so to speak, are mixing up this game, and it's changing the landscape of boxing. It's for whether it's great 100% for the sport, the purists may not like it, but if it's putting more eyeballs in it, that's all that matters to a lot of people when business is there to be made. You do have Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano going on this fight weekend. It is a pick'em fight in a lot of people's opinion. It's going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be arguably more of an entertaining, you know, guts and glory type fight versus in comparison to the Oscar Valdez and Shakur Stevenson fight, which is also going on in ESPN this weekend. So both of those are going to be extremely entertaining cards.
Tony, before I let you go, I want to talk about the potential super fight coming up. Spence Crawford, we've talked about this fight now for multiple years. I didn't think we would ever see it based on the fact that Errol Spence nearly died in a brutal car crash. He comes back. He looks better and better. We saw him take care of business in the ring just a couple of weeks ago, and now it appears there's nothing standing in the way. They have to make this fight happen, Spence Crawford. If we're talking fights on U.S. soil, nothing could be bigger at this stage.
Yeah, nothing could be more monumental, more bigger when it comes to what's on the table, what's on the line, especially from boxing, you know, purists, historians, boxing nerds like us. This is a fight we've been talking about for well over half a decade, if not longer. And it's still one of those fights that are intriguing. We can sit here and have a mental argument about who, what, when, and where, and how, and why, you know, the Spence would win or why Crawford would win. I will say that this fight with Spence versus Ugas, where Spence, you know, takes out Ugas in a very defining fashion.
Yeah, convincing. It was convincing.
Yeah, very convincing. I didn't think it was going to go that way, to be honest with you. It was entertaining. He took him out, destroyed him. It's the best argument that I have for any Spence fans that think that he can beat Crawford or will beat Crawford. I think this would be the time to actually make this fight happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about Errol Spence. I've been on this bandwagon for a very long time. But after the accident, watching him step back into the ring, for me, I go back to the Sean Porter fight. I was not sold on Spence getting in the ring with Crawford. In fact, I thought it was a bad idea. But after what he did at Ugas, I have no doubt in my mind that this is it's a coin flip fight at this point in time. I think I saw enough when Spence was in the ring against Ugas to say, okay, let's get this on. Let's see this fight now. Because, Tony, I mean, really, the fight lost a little bit of luster for me based on everything that had happened with Spence.
Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to say let's make a fight right after, you know, a devastating car accident like that. I think we have some distance from that. And then also he's shown or proved himself, and let alone fans or naysayers alike, to say, like, look, you know, that's, you know, taking something off his fastball a little bit. And we always look at it and go, hey, his chin's never necessarily going to be the same. He's going to be a little bit more weary in the ring. To slow him down, he's going to second guess himself. He hasn't been put in that position yet. He's essentially overcame every single one of those obstacles. And as much as I've always been very much pro Crawford in this argument, Spence has done everything to essentially try to convince me otherwise. So I have to give him a lot of respect in doing so. And at the same time, Crawford's not doing enough inside the ring as far as level of opponents, fighting consistently. I mean, he's dealing more with, you know, management and actually promotion and all the business of it that's slowing him down. And he is aging as well, where, you know, you could say that if Spence is ever going to get Crawford, this would be the time to do it. His stock is at its highest, minus obviously his time before the car accident, of course, and Crawford is at his lowest. And that is why I would say this makes it more entertaining and more of a questionable fight now than ever, in my opinion.
Tony Whitby, our boxing insider here on Drive Time Sports. Tony, I always look forward to these conversations whenever we can share the airwaves and talk boxing. Again, a big weekend coming up and plenty more to talk about in the very near future. As always, I appreciate you taking out the time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's always great to be here, Jimmy.